Welcome back to another episode on Judgment Free Zone. This is your host, Big Cuz. Today's episode is a recording of a message I delivered at Bradbury United Methodist Church on this past Sunday. It's called Being Someone Someone. It's about being there in times of need, being there for people in difficult days, helping each other out. I hope you all thoroughly enjoy the message, and I love each and every one of you all.
Turn my mic on. It's the first time I've ever had to use a mic. Can you hear me? Is that well, Steve? Thank you. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The title is Being Someone's Someone. What does it mean to be someone, someone? A friend, family, a dog, a cat, your favorite sport, a favorite book, or a destination? Last year we sat here and I delivered the message, we were 10 Sunday, and asked what legacy was, and David Beshear's phone goes off and says, Myrtle Beach is 12 hours away. So, I mean, today David's not here, he's camping, he did not quite find Myrtle Beach. But those things will make your day better. Unbeknownst to me, last year we had a cat deliver kittens at my grandparents' house, and right before I had surgery, I'm like, I want a goldfish. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? I'm 32 years old, I want a goldfish. That way I wouldn't be alone at home. Well, turns out I got a cat, not a goldfish, and my loving girlfriend reminds that cat every day that Dad wanted a goldfish instead. And yes, I did want a goldfish, and I still do, but I have Jingles instead. And every day I come home, Jingles meets me at the door, kind of like, where have you been all day? But that helped me during my surgery. When I was laid up and couldn't move, she played all over my knee scooter, all over me. Now I wish she'd calm down a little bit, but not happening. All of those things mentioned can fill the role in some aspect. When we're feeling bad, we watch our favorite TV show, or we snuggle up with our favorite book. We work out, or we play our favorite sport to the best of our ability. I love to play golf. I'm not good at it at all. We played in Hilton Head last year, and if you've never played at Hilton Head, there's alligators on the golf course. Nothing more nervous than, you know, an 8-foot alligator just swimming right next to you. Really, really helps your golf game. We take trips to our favorite places. Doesn't matter how long we visit, that place resets us. A couple of weeks ago, I ran across a story on social media. It talked about a swimming coach and her heroic act. And I'm going to read that. And this is what kickstarted this whole thing. This is at the World Championships in Budapest in June. USA's Anita Alvarez sank to the bottom of the pool. Looking across the deck, then noticing she was under for way too long, her coach, Andrea Fuentes, immediately dove in after her, fully clothed, pulling her to safety. Anita was unconscious and did not have the capacity to kick, paddle, or help herself in any way. If Andrea would not have noticed, she would have drowned. But she knew Anita. She looked for her, quickly noticed she was under too long, then dove in without thinking twice. When you are under too long, who are the people that will look for you? Notice and dive in to pull you to the surface when you've lost your strength for swimming. Who are the people that would do that for you? And can someone count on you to be that person that would go looking and notice when they're under too long, diving in to support them when they are out of fight and fuel to swim in turbulent waters we call life? It is titled, I Am Someone, Someone. That struck a chord with me. She was that swimmer, someone. And we all have those people in that life. And if I make through this whole thing without crying, I'm going to be impressed, but it's not going to happen. Someone who is always there for you when they notice you're not doing well. These are the people to first to notice, and it doesn't always have to be in person. They have some magical gift they can tell over a phone call or a text message that you're not yourself. These people notice when things are off. They take note when you say, I'm fine. Or, it's okay, it's nothing. You can try to play these things off, but your people know the truth. And I think each and every one of us are guilty of that. The I'm fine, it's okay. They tend to lend a hand when needed. They give you a shoulder to cry on. They give you the time just to talk. And they will just sit with you. And yes, I have stories to read today. And one of them is Eeyore. It occurred to Pooh and Piglet they had not heard from Eeyore in several days. So they put on their hats and coats and trotted across the 100-acre woods to Eeyore's stick house. Inside was Eeyore. "Hello, Eeyore," said Pooh. "Hi, Pooh." "Hello, Piglet," said Eeyore in his glum-sounding voice. "We just thought we'd check in on you," said Piglet, "because we hadn't heard from you and wanted to know if you were okay." Eeyore was silent for a moment. "Am I okay?" he asked eventually. "Well, I don't know. To be honest, are any of us really okay? That's what I asked myself. All I can tell you, Pooh and Piglet, is right now I feel rather sad and alone and not much fun to be around at all. Which is why I haven't bothered you, because you wouldn't want to waste your time hanging out with someone who is sad and alone and not much fun to be around. Would you now?" Pooh looked at Piglet, and Piglet looked at Pooh, and they both sat down, one on either side of Eeyore in a stick house. Eeyore looked at them surprised. "What are you doing? We're sitting here with you. Because we're your friends, and true friends don't care if someone's sad or alone or not much fun to be around at all. True friends are there for you anyway. And so here we are." "Oh," said Eeyore. "Oh." And the three of them sat in silence, and while Pooh and Piglet said nothing, somehow, almost impeccably, Eeyore started to feel a very tiny little bit better, because Pooh and Piglet were there, no more, no less. These are the people that you can call on during any crisis, and you know they'll be there ASAP. And I have to add some of these stories because it helps me not to cry. I am a big pro wrestling fan. And I was writing this out last night because, like a good coach, I wait to the last minute to do my game plan. And one thing stuck with me when I said call on people. I grew up in a time, what's called the Attitude Era, where everyone was bad. Where they had some kind of, they were rambunctious. Well, there was a group called Degeneration X. They were degenerates. They were the bad people. No one liked them. They were the rebels. Well, they needed people. And one thing that he said, he says, when times of need, you call on your family. You call on your friends. You call on your blood. And it's true. In times of need, we call on our friends. We call on our family. And we call on those that are blood family. Does not always mean that they're your actual brothers or sisters or uncles or aunts. Those people filled that role. These people look out for you in all events. They check up on you to make sure you're still swimming along. And yes, I said that the same tune of just keep swimming like Dory did. You become family more than friends. For me personally, I have people in my life that have helped cover pretty well every base. And I'm glad she's not here today because I would cry looking at her. During 2020, was one of the toughest times. I suffered from severe depression, and I said the things, "I'm fine, it's okay." And there was really one person that could pull me out of that. And if you all know who I'm talking about, you know she's not here. And she runs around all the time, so it's not who some of you think it is. It is Addie. No matter what, you know, at this point she was 2. She would always give me a hug, make me smile. We'd take a goofy picture. And that made me feel better. She is, if you've ever seen Monsters, Inc., she is my boo. I'm her Sully. In the piggyback scene, we do that all the time. And for her, she couldn't say it very well. She can't say Zach very well. She can now. At that point, she was not piggybacking on her Zach. She was riggybacking on her Yak. But she does not know the impact she's had on my life. Or the rest of our family. And we sit around some Sundays and go, what in the world did we do before her? But we can't remember. So that's our little back pain. Oh, I stood here almost 5 years ago and said those exact same words. And I joke about it now with her and Ashley. When I stood up here and asked prayer for Ashley, she was in the hospital with back pain. And back pain's name was Adeline. So, but I'm glad she's not here because I would cry even worse. There are four other guys that also had an impact. They're the guys that I record my wrestling podcast with. And it started in late January of 2020, at a suggestion of my brother Matt. In just 3 years, the five of us, as Brian puts it, Brian Yawn, who comes to church here, somewhere in the world, people like to listen to five goobers talk about this. Well, since, you know, January of 2020, we've grown. We're now in 37 countries around the world, and we are approaching our 10,000th play, which is impressive for us because I record on my cell phone, this thing. And 37 countries around the world want to tune in to listen to five goobers talk about wrestling, but it's my saving grace. It's my safe place. It's where I get to be myself. My students, some of them know about it, some of them don't. It's okay. I have my own moniker, so I'm not coach. Being a teacher can also bring its battles, but nothing is more rewarding than a student trusting you enough to share their own story. They feel safe to ask for help. Whether you know it or not, a teacher became that student's someone. I had that luxury this year with more of my female students who are being bullied. They would come up to me and talk and open up. Because in my building, I am the largest male in that building. I am the one that sticks up for the outcast. I don't write kids off. Kids get enough bad rap outside of their own classroom. They need someone to stand for them. So I would stand in the place for these people. But even as teachers, we have to lean on those to be our someone. I'm going to try to speed through this because if not, I'm going to cry even more. I was blessed with two amazing teachers to be my support system. Both retired countless years, but they were my guiding light. Miss Rita Jones and then my grandmother. I would text Rita. She couldn't hear to talk on the phone. But it would be great. And just recently, my phone deleted the messages, the last messages I had from Rita. And it had been 6 years or more. But anytime I had a question about teaching, I would message her and ask. When I was contemplating leaving a job that I was very underpaid to do, she goes, leave it. Set your own mark. Reach out to people. You don't have to stay there if you're not comfortable. Okay. But that was an important lifeline for me. My grandmother was on the other side. I would call her almost every day. On the way home from school, we'd talk about the school day, how we related to when she taught. And now I teach with two of her former students, which was, you know, funny how that works. But those two ladies were impactful for my teaching career. And I have on here to share a story about my teaching license. It's very dramatic. And for those that don't know, I lost my teaching license in August of 2021. Well, I got hired to teach in July of 2021. I was given a waiver to teach the 21-22 school year. And that waiver expired in August of 22. Well, I taught all last year. The principal and I, she just let me teach. No one in the central office was aware that the waiver had lapsed. And I'd been taking the test, and if you've ever taken the teaching test, they're like $165 a piece. And they're some of the toughest tests you'll take. And I've taken it 3 or 4 times, and if not more, I'd spend almost $1,000 on these tests. And I submitted a request again for my license and just said, listen, I've spent all this money on these tests. This is my third year teaching. After 3 years, it just automatically rolls. Well, about 2 days before that, it was my grandmother's funeral. Well, the next day, I get an email. Congratulations, it's been accepted. So, that was, and I was sitting there with all these special area teachers after school, and I'm checking my email, and that popped up, and I'm like, hold on, wait. So I just dropped everything and left in the middle of that. Didn't even say anything to them. And it was just a moment of elation for me that I got my license back. But I also knew that it was my grandmother that did it. It was her last act during a difficult time for me. Because, I mean, at this point, 4 months after the school year, I was, you know, looking to, all right, what other field can I go into? I teach dodgeball. Not a whole lot of call for that in the real world. But that was the moment. I went and handed my principal the license. She cried. I cried. But it was tears of joy. So today, we're honoring those that have fallen. In the military, I almost guarantee you that each one of you all that have served can tell a story of someone who was there for you. You have that someone for you, whether you've talked to that person in the last 50 years or not. During your time, you had someone that had your back. You had that someone that you knew, no matter what, you could count on. But for people back home, you all were that someone for them. You were there when the country needed protection or someone in the world needed help. You were those people's someone. We are eternally grateful for that. Whether it was said then or is it said now, we are grateful for your service. We did the honor, when Roy did the honor air a month ago, we went back to see the faces of those veterans coming back that were Vietnam vets, to have people there celebrating them. There was tears, all of it. But it was rewarding. I mean, you had many of them that thanked us for being there. They did not get that reaction when they came home the first time. So we make it right this time. In the Bible, there are also stories and messages about people being someone. The Good Samaritan reached out when he could not see. Jesus calmed the storm. And I thought about this writing this. Can you imagine being on that boat in the storm and Jesus is over there asleep? And you're just like trying to poke him, like, all right, wake up. But that's the way my mind worked. Jonah in the well, same thing. You're just sitting there. David slaying Goliath. He had no idea when he threw that rock what was going to happen. The woman at the well, the social outcast, the perfect example of love, truth, redemption, and acceptance. All stories of individuals seeking out help and asking for someone in a dark time, or even just being at the right spot at the right time, like the woman in the well. All of these things, all of us have someone that is someone. As Ruitans, whether we know it or not, we tend to be someone for someone. We may never know the impact of a simple food box has on a family. We'll never know the excitement as a family starts a fire to stay warm. We may never know the impact of mowing someone's grass or planting flowers will have on someone. I used to go every year to plant caladium bulbs for Lori and Long. My brother would always be the tech person. No matter when Bob reset the TV, they'd call Patrick to come fix it. He'd trot on down there and fix it. But over 35 years, we have helped numerous families and individuals in a multitude of ways. We've done some crazy things, such as a chili supper for a local school. For those that don't know, we probably made about 200 gallons of chili. We were told this carnival is going to be 5,000 people. You're going to be the only food. We pull up, and there sits Bojangles next to us. We probably sold, $150 worth of chili that night. So we had a lot of chili left over. But throughout many months, we eventually became even. One winter, Roy and I got a phone call from a family needing firewood. And like the people we are, we looked at the weather. Okay, the snow's going to come in the next evening. We'll be fine. We'll load it up tonight, deliver it in the morning. Well, we get up, and there's about 5 inches of snow on the ground. Like a good weatherman, he misjudged. But that did not stop us. We got in the truck and delivered the firewood. Slid all over the road on the way back. This was down a little embankment. Going down, not so bad because you're fully loaded. Coming back, you're empty. Not the best trip, but it worked out, didn't it? Remember having to stop and scrape, because no matter how many times the windshield wipers went around, we still had to scrape ice. Don't be afraid to be that someone for somebody. Have faith in those around you. I know it, in today's time, seems a little crazy, but have faith. While it might not seem like there is someone there, trust me, someone has noticed when you're not being yourself. They notice when you're drowning and need a lifeguard. These people have your best interest at heart and won't throw the moments back in your face, which does happen. While the world may seem crazy, just know that God has placed angels in your life. Only God knows the amount of time they will be in your life, but trust me, the impact is forever. And the last, I love Winnie the Pooh. So the last story is titled, Today Was a Difficult Day. Pooh says, today was a difficult day. There was a pause. You want to talk about it, asked Piglet. No, said Pooh. No, I don't think I do. It's okay, Piglet said. He came and sat by his best friend. What are you doing? Nothing really, only I know what difficult days are like. I quite often don't feel like talking about it on my difficult days either. But goodness, continued Piglet, difficult days are so much easier when you know you've got someone there for you. And I'll always be here for you. And as Pooh sat there working through his head his difficult day, while the solid, reliable Piglet sat next to him quietly, swinging his little legs, he thought his best friend had never more been right. So, no matter how much you're having a difficult day, know that there is somebody there for you. Someone is your someone. You are somebody's someone. Thank you.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you. Like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.